The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
All right, welcome back, TNT, to The Human Impact on Freedom 106.5 FM. Good morning to you, Ms. Khan. How are you? And welcome back. We're going to talk about back-to-school food tips.
Yes, very excited. Always happy to hear from you.
So the thing is, I had a little rant this morning because I was very upset to see students fighting once again in schools. I felt that, you know, it's go deeper than just placing officers with guns and that conversation. I think we should go into diet as well, because you want children to be alert, you want them to eat well, etc. And already in schools, there isn't much to choose from. So as a parent, what tips can we give them today to, you know, make sure that they at least try to have a balanced diet going to school?
Yeah, I think it's a very important topic. And the truth is, it actually might impact that whole sort of aggressive side and aggressive nature. Because, of course, in terms of behaviors, it's more like sometimes it could be environmental and it could be based on what they see and what they are experiencing. Mm-hmm. And then there's another part of it where it's nutrition related, which is where it affects your hormones. And that's why you can't really have as much control over your emotions as you want to, because you're not eating on time or you don't have the right nutrients in your body, and then you can develop nutrient deficiencies. So there's a lot of different ways in which I think nutrition impacts that. Mm-hmm. Of course, it has other factors too, but I do think that definitely this topic could help if there's like a positive change. Because if you think about it, what's in the cafeteria?
Well, this is what we need to discuss. And then we will get to the prices of what is in the cafeteria in a minute. But let's, for those who are listening as well, 3061065, tell us some of the things that appear in your children's cafeteria. From food to snacks to, you know, just give us an idea, all right? But from what I remember from when my daughter was going to school, there were things like fries in heavy oil, and then cheese pie, beef pie.
Right.
You might have a sweet bun, you know, those donuts with the sugar on top of it as a sweet snack. Some may have, you know, if you're fancy in the school, as they say, you might have fried chicken, or you might have a hamburger, you know. But these things not really, I guess, let's talk about it, because some things can be healthier than others, but the availability of it.
Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, if you give kids, even if you give them, because I know it has rules now with some schools where you have to give them a fruit. You have to make sure they have juice. You have to make sure that they have some sort of vegetable, which is
great. Which school is this? Please enlighten me. I would love to know. There's something more like the international schools that are in Trinidad and Tobago.
I thought that that was, like, you know, most primary school.
No, I know that there was, I don't want to say a law, but there was a step towards moving sugar, soft drinks from schools. Yeah. However, Coca-Cola still making an appearance.
I know.
You know.
Because
I shouldn't have called the brand name, but you know what I mean.
Yes. But I think that those are, it's a good alternative, and it's a good way to encourage your kids to know that, okay, during snack time, you have to have your fruit and you have your juice and all of those things. But then, if they are influenced by what's in the cafeteria and like other kids have money and they want to buy the unhealthies, or it has a snow cone lady or snow cone man right outside the school gate and you could just, you know, get a snow cone, or, you know, it has other influences, the lack of knowledge, because if the kid is just influenced based on what's being done around them and they don't really understand, or they're not really part of the picking process of putting together their meals and their snacks and their drinks, then why would they want to consume it? Because they don't really, it's not something that they like, or they feel like they prefer different fruit, or they prefer different juice, or they prefer different snack. And it's not included, so they might not actually consume it. And then that will then lead to binge eating, other things that, you know, it's definitely going to lead to a lot more body fat. Because, of course, as I know that we have a lot of kids who are quite chubby. Yeah, obesity in children is something that is also risky when you don't have balanced snacks and balanced meals, because that whole issue with the binge and the overeating and the unhealthy eating is what could then lead to kids developing obesity. And then that could then lead to kids developing lifestyle-created issues because kids could also have diabetes. Kids could also have high blood cholesterol.
Would you call it pediatric diabetes? Is that it?
Yeah. So it's in the kids. And a lot of the times parents, I know we have busy lives and I know that a lot of things happen and it's very difficult to try and control and manage. But it's better to practice what you preach. Like if you practice drinking your water, staying hydrated, making sure you eat your fruit, that should then and can then influence the kids. But make it in a way, like, I think that it's better to involve them. Because I know when I was smaller too, we used to be excited and line up for chow. And that's actually a healthy snack because it's fruits.
Yeah.
It has fruit, cucumbers, you know, it has like a nice balance. And we used to line up and be like, oh, this chow is so good. You know, chow is something that you could definitely include for your kids to get their fruits in. And if once they like that whole pepper, if they don't and they want to just put a little salt or whatever seasoning, the banana and all those things, that could add flavor to the snacks and that could encourage them. Sorry to interrupt,
but we got a message coming in here and saying Gandhi Memorial Vedic School implemented that fruit mandate a few years ago. I believe that is this the teacher's name, Mrs. Keshmani? Thank you so much for sending the message, if that's you. So these schools implemented the fruits. You must have a fruit, or at least have fruits on sale. I believe some secondary schools have opted to remove soft drinks from their menu. Let's see what other messages coming in at 3061065.
And also, they're not supposed to bring the soft drinks into the school. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how strict that one is.
Because, I mean, how are you going to be searching everyone's lunch kit or bag to see? Cause, so what do they do if they find the soft drink? Do they confiscate it and then resell it outside? Yeah. Because, I don't know. I'm just asking.
yeah, it's true. There's a lot of questions that could come up because of this stuff. But yeah, so I think the healthy snack alternative, you have to include your kids in the choosing process. I think that is one of the biggest game changers. Because if you don't, chances are they're not going to eat. Like, why should they eat what you eat? If they don't like it, or they have a friend who they prefer their snack to, or they have a little cash and they prefer the snack in the cafeteria, it's going to stop them from going and buying what they want because they have that choice in school to do as they please with the
allowance that is given to them.
Yeah. So I think it's important that you let them choose and let them know the benefits and allow them to see that you're eating it also. Because it can't just be a one-sided thing where the kids are forced to, have juice and fruits or water and you're drinking soft drinks
and have a heavy calorie intake with roll or whatever sweet pastries that come in.
They're gonna be like, this is unfair, because kids say what they think and they're very open to what they see. So they're gonna realize and they're gonna see that it's unfair and they're not gonna want to, they're gonna want to eat the same way you eat, in a sense.
Can we just like list some foods that may have that would contribute to aggression?
Oh, okay. So besides skipping meals, because that's a big one, and majority is gonna be skipping breakfast because you're going to be rushing in the morning time. Everyone wants to get to school on time. Mm-hmm. And of course, you have to wake up early and everybody's coming out of their whole sleeping in late routine over the summer, the vacation. So it's a bit of a rush and you forget breakfast. Now, breakfast is extremely, extremely important to eat. That's the first thing that you can consume. It's going to help to regulate your blood sugars, help to regulate your hormones. But in terms of aggression, right, it's more like, you see, because and it really does come down to the refined foods, the foods that have a lot more sugar, because you, and of course caffeine, because you have that sort of anxiety energy spike when you consume these things, and it's more like your body develops cravings and then you could get hungry. So it really does affect
I'm sorry.
It really does affect your mood and your energy in a negative way, and you will be more irritable and you will get mood swings when you do consume quite a lot of sugary snacks and sodas and sweets.
Mm-hmm.
Alone, that's terrible, terrible. Well,
that's another thing that they offer in the cafeteria or the tuck shop, as they call it. You know, the little sweets.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Dinner mints. Well, dinner mints is one thing. That's the fresh on your breath or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But you have chewing gum. No. You have the jumbo balls or whatever you call it.
Mm-hmm. All the sweeties.
Tamarind balls.
Sweeties. I mean, it's not to say that you can't have it, but you still have to make sure you have the healthy balance first. You still have to make sure that you have your fruits, and you have to, if you have, give them a granola bar or some nuts or peanut butter and a fruit or some yogurt. You know, you still have to make sure that you have something that could still stabilize your energy and your mood with giving you different nutrients. So different food groups, you have different proteins and fats and complex carbs. Things that are slower digesting, things that help you to feel more full and satisfied, things that will prevent the irritability. And you see the caffeine, right? It's not like you're giving your kids coffee, right? But it has a lot of invisible caffeine, because if you give your kids these sodas and these soft drinks and these energy drinks, they all have caffeine in them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you might not be intentionally giving them coffee to drink, but the amount that they're getting, and caffeine is a drug, it's a legal drug, it really does promote that restlessness and aggression. Because if they don't get their caffeine, you know how people get when they don't get their coffee in the morning.
Not okay.
No, I really, coffee, like the caffeine addiction, is a whole different level. Because, I mean, this whole aggression thing is also like, I mean, you see it in adults too, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you see it happens in a lot of fast food restaurants. You'll always see people impatient, can't wait to get to to get their food, and then they're complaining about what they get. And all of that is because they're hungry and they didn't.
You know, I always thought that was a movie thing. I mean, it's customer service. You have to be kind to those who serve in you. At least that's how I look at it. Whether you're hungry or hangry or whatever, obviously, you know, because they are the ones preparing your food. You never know.
Exactly.
You have to be nice to people who serve your food.
Yeah, that's true.
Try your best to be nice. Now, some comments coming in at 3061065. Now, there is one thing to say that you're sending your children to school with healthy items, but to keep it fresh and to keep it until they are ready to eat it is also an issue. You know, is there a way that, or foods that we can choose from the grocery that would have the longevity, so when they eat at whatever o'clock, I know that it's supposed to be like, I think, 10:30 or 10 o'clock for break, and then about 11:30 around there for lunch.
Yes.
And no, they don't get a break in the afternoon. At least I'm trying to remember from my timetable, but and then you go home after that. But it is, as you just said, breakfast is one of the things that is skipped, because everybody is trying to get onto the road to get to their destinations on time.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way, how about food prep? Is there a way that they can prep breakfast so that you could go have it on the go?
Yeah, that's very, actually very important point and question, because I was thinking about that the other day too. I was like, wait a second. If you prepare lunch in the morning time, and then you have, that doesn't stay in the fridge. That just stays in your lunch kit for hours. How does it not spoil? I was like, wait, we used to do this all the time. And I just thought it was so crazy. I was like thinking about it. I'm like, how come it doesn't spoil? But honestly, once you, I know, of course, it has those like sealed containers and the Ziploc bags, and the different ways to like make sure that it, once it's sealed and it's, it stays where you put it, it's not going to get the whole oxygen or oxidize in that way. So if you, and of course, if you choose like, and I know a lot of people would choose the apple and the banana because it could remain as is, and then the kids could just eat it when they're ready. So there's no like cut up prep. But if you do like your watermelon, and if you do some pineapple and all of that, if you just have to make sure it's Ziploc or sealed properly. And of course, if you do it in the chow form, even better, because that will preserve it and that will be fine, you know?
Isn't but, that, you could put like, I think it's lime or lemon on the apple to preserve it from oxidizing. Isn't that right?
But then I don't know how, I don't know what it tastes. I don't know if it will affect the taste. If it might, and not, the kids will be really. Like, oh, what's that tangy thing? It really depends on how you do, how you want to do it, and how your kid will enjoy it. But yeah, those things that are kept whole, or if you just have like a seals containers and seals Ziploc bags, I think that's the best way to do it. And you just give them the fork or whatever you want them to eat it with. But of course, yogurt is something sealed already. And I think there are small yogurts, and it could stay for a couple hours by, because you're eating in break time. Yeah. Of course, nuts, trail mix, cereals could also stay. So in the car, if you do want to have that breakfast, let's say you could make a smoothie any morning time, which is completely easy because you just put everything in the blender. You just wash it, put it in the blender, and you're just drinking it on the way. So no mess, right? If you want, you could do like a cereal, like a dry cereal, and you have your nuts and your little dried fruits, and they could just munch on a few of that in the car on the way. You could do the yogurt also, because yogurt, they could have that, you know, and you could put a little fruit in there if you have any fruits that you want them to eat with the yogurt. That's also nice. If you want to do a sandwich, because again, bread is pretty easy to munch on, and you can do like a little sandwich in the car, like if it's cheese paste or cheese, or and you put a little lettuce leaf or cucumber, whatever, you know, you have available. You make a little veggie and you put it in there, and that's fine. And I know a lot of people do this for lunch, which is the mac and cheese. But when you do that whole mac and cheese thing, because I think nearly every child will go to go with mac and cheese.
Something about that mac and cheese that just tastes processed, I don't like it at all. I mean, if I use the normal cheese, like you get the macaroni in the pack that is plain, and you do it yourself, that tastes a whole lot better than the one in the box that has come in a packet.
Exactly. So the packet one is really, it really does taste processed. It looks processed.
It smells processed.
If you like boil your macaroni and you just put some cheese in it, that's great. But again, you could grate some carrots into there, or you could blend up some tomatoes, and tomatoes in the mac and cheese is basically like ketchup, but it adds a nice flavor. I like it. I like tomatoes. So you could blend that in, and you could include that as like a sauce. You could do broccoli. You could steam any broccoli in the macaroni, and that will add some veggies to it. So it is about getting in some balance also. But I think those simple, quick, and easy things could probably help to prevent that whole breakfast skipping, because your kids, honestly, how are they supposed to function properly on an empty stomach in school until break time? Unless they could sit and eat before this class starts, but something should be given to them to munch on before
they get to class. So I must appreciate and give a shout out to the, you know, the guys who are on the roads early in the morning I saw it, I don't know if he's still there, but by Mova Junction, because used to go over the Lady Young to drop my daughter to school, and he would sell these fruit bags with banana, apple, a little bit of pumpkin seeds. You might get, pumpkin seeds, the other green seeds, what do you call those? Chia seeds. And you know, it was like a great idea. It's like, you know, that is such a good idea, because yes, you're getting your fruits, you can eat that for breakfast, and I think a little granola as well, and it was a reasonable price. I don't know how much it is now, but it was reasonable back then, you know.
But and that is completely balanced. That's really good.
Let's take a short break though, and when we come back, anybody else who has any ideas for those quick lunches and quick breakfasts. I know that is not a word, so don't come for me. All right, so just making, you know. All right, we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
This is The Human Impact on Freedom 106.5 FM. Speak your mind.
Welcome back to UNT, just at 20 to the hour of 10 o'clock. If you've got to be there for 10, chop chop, it is 20 minutes on your clock. All right. Someone sent a message here, Miss Cam, and I find it funny, and they actually said, I'm just teasing you. Oh, you didn't read my text on air. So here how the text going, eh? When a host who liked to chat meet an interviewing someone who liked chat more than she, laugh out loud, fireworks on the radio. So they seem to be enjoying our show today.
Oh, that's so nice.
So going back to diet and nutrition for schools. We touched on why some kids may be aggressive in schools. You know, this whole skipping of the breakfast thing to get to your destination on time is a big thing. What is available in the cafeteria is also an issue, from fry foods to a lot of sugar to things that are not balanced, not enough fruits, not enough hydrating drinks. And you know, it not only that, the price, because we have to talk about budget and that and how that affects what goes into students' lunch bags. I mean, you had to be honest too, when in primary school we would send children with you know, with a good lunch kit, you know, a prepared lunch kit. But when you reach secondary school, it's like, fend for yourself first. Look, $30, $40, buy lunch. You know, so, and then they're left to navigate that whole, either there's food or lack thereof. So how do we combat that? How do we, you know, deal with those things?
All of this is behavioral, right? So, I mean, of course, primary school is the foundation for then secondary school, but then every time you transition, it's like a whole new environment and a whole new ball game, because even from primary to secondary to then university is like you basically have to keep transitioning, and it really disrupts your daily routine and your eating habits, and then you have to basically start over from scratch. But I think if you have a strong foundation, it can help to hopefully reinforce that you still have to maintain your eating habits later on. But I think it's really difficult, because what's available and what's out there and what is easy for kids to buy if they can't get food from home or they eat school feeding or whatever it is, it's really based on convenience and what they want. Because then, of course, as they get older and they get more rebellious, it's not like, you know, they're going to be like, yeah, let me listen to my parents and eat what they tell me to eat. They want to just do whatever the crowd does and, you know, go with the flow instead of really focusing on what their body needs. And then that's why they crash. And that, if you think about it, kids, in terms of like the flu and getting sick, a lot of the times it starts with the kids. The kids get sick a lot faster, and then they just spread it across the board. Once one child is sick in the school, you know,
everybody gets sick, especially in a nursery. Have mercy. It's annoying.
It's terrible. It's really bad, because then everybody's like, well, that kid should have stayed home. Now everybody have to stay home. You know, it's a difficult situation, but it's again comes down to the immune system. Because if you lack the proper vitamins and minerals and you don't have the right balances, you will get sick fast, sick longer. So it's really difficult because the habits have to be strong enough for you to basically understand what you're eating, why you're eating it, and then how exactly you're going to maintain it throughout primary, secondary, you know, tertiary education, throughout everything that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because honestly, if you are obese as a child and there's no intervention, your obesity will continue throughout your entire life. Because again, you will cycle from being bullied, getting depressed, eating again, binge eating.
Mm-hmm.
Doing a restricted diet, not getting results fast enough, binge eating. You know, it keeps spiraling. And then that obesity then increases your risk for the other lifestyle issues.
Mm-hmm.
Like diabetes and, you know, that we've seen a lot of kids developing, and depression, and cholesterol, and all of that. So it's a serious, serious issue. I think it needs a lot more attention than it's given. I think there probably more education should go into the kids and the schools and helping them to understand what they're eating, why they're eating it, and what their body needs to help them to function better. Because kids who could function better in school and who could not only do their work but perform better, they have to have, like, their nutrition has to also support that. If they didn't have the right nutrients and they didn't have the right food in their body, how could their brain be fueled the right way so that they could function more effectively and they could concentrate better? You know, they can have mental well-being. They could be more physically active when they have breaks or physical activity.
Mm-hmm.
So eating habits is really a big game changer, and it does lead from kids from young age going all the way up to adulthood. It is so, so, so important. And I really think that it comes back to education and empowering everyone to understand, because we have so much amazing local food.
Well, this would have been my next question. What local dishes do you recommend for children to take to school? Because I'm thinking, you know, macaroni pie, maybe.
Yeah. So, of course, there are vegetarian schools, and then there's the ones where you could bring your meat, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, if it's vegetarian, now, again, what we keep missing and neglecting is our vegetable.
Mm-hmm.
The vegetable food group is highly neglected. Now, of course, if your kids are picky eaters, which we know that probably 99.9% is, let's mm-hmm. be real, a lot of kids are very, very picky. And it's very difficult to figure out what they want to eat. It's best to try to navigate that by including them, of course, in the process, trying to prepare things in different ways. But again, you can't experiment during the week because you're in a rush. You have to get to work, you have to get your kids to school. It's crazy. So it has to be over the weekend when you have the time that you try different ways of preparing things, and you try to include the veggies into the carbs or into the meat. So like how I mentioned earlier with the macaroni, the mac and cheese, you have the broccoli in there, or you have your tomato sauce in there, or you do carrots grated in there or blended, however you think your kid is going to eat it. Because some kids would prefer specific veggies prepared in a specific way. I know it's time consuming. I know it's a lot of work, but it's worth it because you give them the right balance that they need. So in terms of like local dishes, I think all of our local, like pilau is wonderful. You could do it with meat, you could do it without, and you could include more carrots and the green peas in there. Or some people put pumpkin. I don't know if you ever tried it like that, but I know.
Yeah, there's pumpkin, carrots.
Yeah.
So the way that my mom does it, because I don't eat meat, they'll do the meat separate. And
right.
Then so it's like rice and peas, basically. But there are times when she would do it and I just don't eat that day.
Oh,
but, you know, if you could do a pot like that, that will last a couple of days. So you have, you know, meals for 2-3 days. But as you say, they're picky eaters. So if they eat pilau on Monday, they definitely don't want it Tuesday and Wednesday.
Yeah.
You know, so I think building a menu for the week, and you know, planning your meals is something that you could start doing, and that way you tend to budget better.
I think so too.
Yeah, and you kind of have a routine, and you do meal prep. So at least that's what my daughter does. She has this down to science, so. I'm not too worried about nutrition where she's concerned. But if we do that, as you said, it takes a lot of time and a dedication to routine as well to say, okay, I'm going to go to the grocery. I'm going to get all these items. I need this amount, that amount, and, you know, build your menus from there. Then you could go as far to do as calorie intake and get to the different food groups and so on.
Right. So what I'm thinking, right, because of course you mentioned they want something, they might want something different, and they might not want the same thing every day. Now, that's a migraine right there, because for parents, they don't have to cook something different every single day. It's like, oh my goodness.
I give props to the cooks who allow that kind of choice in their house, yes? You know, you cook 3 and 4 different dishes because they want to cater to everybody.
I know. That is amazing, honestly. But I think also what you could probably do, like you said, with coming up with a menu, for example, let's say we talk about potato, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say we do sweet potato. If you want, you could do sweet potato wedges, bake that. Mm-hmm. You could do sweet potato mash. You could do, what else you could do sweet potato?
You could sweet potato pie.
Yes.
Sweet potato fritters.
Right. Yeah. And you could do the same thing with aloo. Mm-hmm. You could do aloo. You could do mashed potato with some cheese and some veggies and that. You could do potato salad. And so if you want, you could use like one carb and you could make multiple different options. So you still have a variety, but you don't have to overdo the whole cooking process in the kitchen. You know, and it's not 100 times more work that you have to do with different menus and all of that. Mm-hmm. Making a pie, you could do like a half a pie with potato and half a pie with macaroni, you know, and that will still give them different options during the week, and you have it in the fridge, and you could alternate every other day, you choose something different, and mm-hmm. that could still keep them interested, because within the day, I mean, you're still eating a variety of foods within the day. It's not like you're having, you know, bakery pie for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Let's not do that. Mm-hmm. So any day you could choose like different options, and if you do the sandwich or you do the granola and the yogurt for breakfast, and then you have your fruit and your nuts and your fruit and your unhealthy if it's like some potato chips or something, because kids have to be able to enjoy their unhealthy as well. They can't see that fruits is a punishment, because then they'll never like fruits. It can't be like a punishment. It has to be like you can have it with your unhealthies and you can still enjoy your piece of like your cookies or whatever it is you like. And then you have your main meal, which is your lunch. And still, whenever you're prepping, just find a way to grate or cook in the veggies. If it is into your chicken, if you bake chicken and you put like sweet peppers and carrots or tomatoes or whatever it is, or if you do a stew, or if you, well, curry. I don't know. No, not curry.
No.
What do you
want a bad belly if it doesn't right. play with curry that way.
No. But I mean, like, we would eat curry with pumpkin, you know, so you have your curry chicken or your curry chana and aloo with some pumpkin. So you could, it's always about finding that creativity. And like you said, the planning really does help. And when you want to make your life easier, you just use the same ingredient, you use the same pie and you make 2 different types of pies. So you don't overwork yourself, but you still include like a dish and you get different meals throughout the week, mm-hmm. you know? So that could still help. And again, dinner, I know that dinner is like, some people just buy, or you know, they do just whatever they could pick up. Or they might do the roti and vegetable choco, which is a really good balanced meal that's totally fine to end the day with. Because dinner is supposed to be light. But I know that we always do the opposite. And we have dinner, it's heavy. Dinner is always rice and something, or noodles and something, or macaroni and something, or provision. And honestly, it's the last meal of the day. So I prefer that lunch is the heavier meal and dinner is the lighter. And I know everyone is like, they want to sit around the table with their family, which is great. And you have your meal, but you want to eat heavy, but still try your best to make sure that what's heaviest on your plate is that vegetable load, because that is what's going to save you from cravings. It's going to save you from binging. It's going to help to keep you full and satisfied for longer. And it doesn't matter the veg, because when I say veggies, people always think, oh gosh, I don't want to eat salad alone.
Yeah, they think I'm not a cow. I don't want you know, the grassy stuff. Yeah. But quickly, we have about 5 more minutes. I want to read this message coming in here. I know your guest means well, but she mentioned yogurt and trail mix a couple times. But here's the thing. Most yogurts, I refrain from calling brand names, and trail mix have more sugar than a donut. Now, I'm not saying to have donuts for breakfast, but check sugar content. Most of those popular brand yogurts have 20 to 25 grams of sugar, and a variety of trail mixes usually have 12 to 15 grams of more sugar. But get this, here in the US, the popular Krispy Kreme glazed donut, light and fluffy, yes, the brand name is called for a specific example, has just 10 grams of sugar. The information I shared comes from through the American Heart Association. Time allowing, I will try to send and share my alternative breakfast choice. Now, strange enough, because these brand names, like the one he called, they are, it's a demand on their copyright or whatever to, you know, fix their formula so that it reaches the Food and Drug Administration recommended daily allowance, right? And I thought of things like bagels as an option or an alternative to, let's say, the donuts and the trail mix. What about that? Because I kind of like bagels.
Yes,
bagels. Blueberry bagels, you know. It'd have to have some kind of sweetness in it.
Bagels are really dense and they have a lot of calories also. And then the way that we eat the bagels is just cream cheese.
Yeah, but cream cheese, yes. But then, you know, when you eat that, at least for me, I don't want to eat until lunchtime because of how heavy it is.
No, but the person has a very good point. Yes, a lot of the yogurts and the brands have quite a lot of sugar, and you do have to check because the amount of sugar, but when you read the nutrition facts, the total sugars is what you're looking at. The included sugars is already part of the total, so it's not additional. So your total sugars around 10 grams per serving is ideal, right? So that is a lot better to aim for kids. But you see, it's still important to eat something than not. When you starve, your sugars could still spike and your hormones will get crazy and your stress hormones elevate. So even if what's available is something like that, because it has protein in it and it has healthy fats in it, it should balance the yogurt. But yes, label reading and making sure it's around 10 grams of sugar or less is key. And a lot of cereals do have, because like you said, they have to stay up with the recommendations. And because a lot of people are being more conscious about what they buy, they do label read. So I think a lot of the brands are trying to reduce the sugar content so that it's safer for the consumers. And when, let's say, okay, it says 1 cup is a serving and it's 11 grams of sugar. It's not that you say, oh gosh, I can't eat that. No, you can have it, because what if the kids just have half cup or less? You know, it's just a few. That means that you're cutting down the sugars by the serving size. You're not actually eating the whole thing. So you're not getting that amount of sugar, you know? So there are a lot of tricks. There are a lot of tricks with it and there are a lot of different ways. I just don't want you to skip, because when you skip, your stress hormones and everything just goes crazy and it makes your day 10 times worse. But the bagel, I guess to make the bagel healthier, right?
We've got practically 30 seconds to go as we get into it. But so I thank you so much today for coming in and giving this. But we didn't talk about juices and water and all of that. I will talk about that another day. But thank you so much for joining us today and next week.
Yes, next week. We'll expand more.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.